So much to get to today. We'll get to Bill Burr, Jon Stewart, Jerry Seinfeld, Norm Macdonald, Jim Brewer, festival stuff. But like usual, starting with late night, did you see Gavin Newsom survived his recall election? Stephen Colbert said, sorry, California Republicans. I know you spent 20 months and millions of dollars on the recall, but you know what they say? You win some, but not in California. Jimmy Kimmel, did he win? Can you win an election you didn't want to happen? Jimmy Kimmel, the cost to our state was about $300 million, which I think was the third most expensive dinner at French Laundry ever. Fallon, the race was called for Newsom less than an hour after the polls closed. Less than an hour. Amazing how fast an election can end when Rudy Giuliani is not involved, isn't it? Corden, the election was called so early, Newsom was able to get his beauty sleep, which by the looks of him is 17 hours a day. Seth, in fact, there were three options on the ballot that said yes, no, and this is a bigger waste of time than driving to LAX. Fallon, a vast majority of Californians voted no on the recall. So many people marked no, it was like the RSVPs for a destination wedding. Bob Saget posted an emotional message on Thursday in which he talked about the devastation he was going through over the death of fellow comic Norm Macdonald. Saget called the news a knife to the heart. He's one of the most important people in my life and one of the sweetest. We loved each other. I can't accept that he's gone and the shock that we're going through. 61. It's a sin for all of us that he's gone. He cared about people a lot and he felt the human condition so deeply that it affected him in different ways. Bob Saget said Norm Macdonald never told him he was sick. I felt it. I knew something was wrong. I think a lot of us felt it. His mind was still amazing. I'd been texting with him, and I knew that the last month was a turn in whatever was going on. 2 weeks ago, he texted me, how are you? What are you doing? Are you doing stand-up? And I answered him with too many words, and then I didn't hear back. And then last week, I got a text that just said, I love you. I didn't say much back. I just said, I love you, Norm. And that was my last communication with him. But he didn't mince words and he didn't mince emotions. One of the gifts of my life is that he loved me and that I loved him. It made me better as a comedian. Our friendship was really deep. On Kimmel, Bill Maher commended Norm Macdonald for keeping his battle with cancer private. Maher said, a guy who was never afraid to be too subtle for most people. He did the jokes he wanted to do. I love that. I love that I found out he died after he died. Because to me, show business, we're in here for the audience. You're not here for us. Maher says he's not judging anybody, but he does not agree with stars who share their health issues publicly. Sometimes the audience loves that. I've never been in that camp. I'm not here to burden you. I'm here to lighten your burden. So the fact that I didn't know about this, nobody knew about this. Good one, Norm. He kept it to himself because he's in show business. He's here to make you happy. Seth Meyers shared that Norm Macdonald's influence on him could not be overstated, especially when it came to Weekend Update. Seth said, I said to him, one of the hardest parts of doing Update for me was not telling every joke the way I thought Norm would tell it. I had to beat Norm's delivery out of me. From the laugh button, Bill Burr has a new album coming out. Yeah, you hear me getting angry? Longtime listeners, you know where we're going? We're going down Vinyl Road. I'll explain to the new listeners in a second. First, the news. The double album, Live from Madison Square Garden, is his sold-out 2018 performance, released in full for the first time. It will be available exclusively as a vinyl from Amoeba Records on September 23rd. It can be purchased either in store or in a link. The album is only available to ship in the U.S., so what, you know, what's your problem, Johnny Mac? I suspect this is to nominate it for a Grammy. So I get on my high horse every year because the Grammy nominations for Best Comedy Album come out. And the best way I can explain it is I know a Netflix special when I see one, and I know a comedy album when I hear one. And what happens is comedians will do things where they'll take something that's really a Netflix special, like it really at its core, it's a Netflix special, and they release it as an album. Fine. If you want to release it as an album, fine. But they don't really release it as an album. They release it on vinyl and you have to go to Amoeba Records and maybe click on a link to get it. You know what I mean? Dave Chappelle's 846 came out as an album. He pressed 846 copies of it. So yes, it is an album. If you know, I guess you could go to Amoeba Records and could buy Bill Burr's vinyl. But is it really, really the same as, you know, putting something out on, I don't know what we do now, CD or digital release, and it's available everywhere, and it's an album, or maybe you recorded it as an album and not a Netflix special and ripped the audio and then pressed 846 copies, you know? All right, I'll shut up on my rant, but Bill Burr has a new album coming out, available September 23rd. Moving on! Everybody's like, yes, finally, he moved on. Jeez. Jon Stewart talked to The Hollywood Reporter. They wrote, Jon Stewart knows you're likely to position his forthcoming Apple TV Plus series as his hotly anticipated return to TV. He wishes you didn't. Stewart said, it just feels arrogant. At one point, the proposed tagline for the new show was, he's back. Stewart talked them out of that. But the first promo is set to a Bruno Mars song featuring the lyric, guess who's back again. Stewart said, I understand it's a business and they got to do what they got to do. But I do want to be clear, that's them, not me. The problem with Jon Stewart, bi-weekly episodes starting September 30th, the concept, a current affairs series that tackles a single issue or problem every episode. Episode 1 centers on veterans, one of Jon's favorite causes, with its focus on the millions being denied health care, despite the devastating effects that they're facing from toxic exposure in the burn pits. On this new format, Jon Stewart welcomes a panel of sufferers and their impassioned spouses to discuss the issue, then sits with Secretary of Veterans Affairs to push for answers. Even Stewart felt it necessary to acknowledge the relative earnestness during the inaugural show, at one point joking about the ribbing he's gotten from his stand-up brethren the next time he sets foot in the Comedy Cellar. They're all going to be like, oh, look, Mother Teresa just came. So this is not The Daily Show. This is not John Oliver. This is not Jon Stewart doing Jon Stewart. This is different. The Hollywood Reporter said, over the past 6 years, you'd emerge periodically and say how much you were enjoying your time out of the spotlight. When did things change? Jon said, well, it was an October night. The wind was howling off the water. A ship's bell dinged in the distance. No, it's not as cut and dry as I'm coming back or I'm not coming back. It's more you make things. And I felt that the experiences I'd had on The Daily Show combined with the experiences I had in DC enlightened me in a way that maybe I hadn't been aware of previously. It's still just a TV show. But I was struck by how the most seemingly obvious, simple things got derailed by the systems that are put in place to actually get them done. I'd been so taken by the people on the ground, putting in the manual labor to get incremental improvement in systems that are not designed for their input. And I thought, is there some way of exposing this? Like, why is it so effing hard? I guess the show could be called, Why Is It So Effing Hard? You look at veterans' struggle to get proper healthcare and benefits. My experience with people have been at this at the expense of their entire livelihoods and mental health. And there's a part of me that feels like I have one thing to offer, and that's exposure. It's the only thing I have. And I'm not a young man. My career began on a show on MTV where I think the first character I introduced was called Butt Crack Guy. It was the one where we showed how the censors operated at MTV by how much butt crack on this one individual we could use. And that's obviously a part of me too, but you hope your career is an ongoing evolution. I guess what I'm saying is there will be moments of butt crack guy in this, but I also like the idea of exposing these systems as a whole and trying to look at it like, how the F is this system incentivized where there are so many people just getting jammed at the bottom of it? He talked about the, you know, serious topics on the show and said, it's the same things that animated The Daily Show. We're just adjusting the dial slightly. If The Daily Show was the weather report, I thought maybe it'd be interesting to do something that was about climate. Now, one of the beautiful things about The Daily Show is that it was forgiving when the episode was not so good. He phrased it differently. There was always, well, we'll get it tomorrow. Now, it's a biweekly show. Jon said, in some ways, it'll be more satisfying. I feel like this is more of a conversation. It's probably a terrible pitch for the show. It's The Daily Show. But less entertaining, but also maybe more complete. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. You hear me plugging the buymeacoffee.com/dailycommonnews? I come on here, I bare my soul. No, not really. And I beg for coffee. The Falcon bought me a large iced coffee and wrote, thanks for keeping it light. P.S. I think Bob's Burgers serves birds of prey. Interesting. Mr. Falcon, I appreciate your coffee. I'm recording later in the day than I usually do. What'd I get this morning? I did my basic caramel. National Donuts chain, large ice, caramel, and milk. That's my usual go-to. So, Mr. Falcon, thank you. Now, if you heard me say, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, some of you may have giggled. If you don't get the reference, back in olden times, we used to watch movies on regular TV. If I have to explain what regular TV means, you're probably too young to get any of this. But those of you who are, you know, a little older, remember regular TV? So Die Hard 2 would show up on regular TV, and there were two things about it. So you couldn't say naughty words on the regular TV. So they would redub them. Now, normally when you made a TV edit, you would get the voice actors to come in and revoice the lines. So instead of saying, oh, I don't want to curse here, but instead of saying, mother effers with the word, you'd come in and revoice it and be like, you know, you muffler fudgers, something stupid like that. So in Die Hard 2, the Bruce Willis character says yippee-ki-yay and doesn't want to say mf'er, so he says yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falcon as opposed to yippee-ki-yay mf'er, and It's one of those things that's stuck in popular culture. So when I saw that the Falcon bought me an iced coffee, I was like, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. But the other thing about Die Hard 2, and please Google this. Now, I explained how you get the actor in and he revoices things. They apparently couldn't get Bruce Willis. So if you see the TV version of Die Hard 2, John McClane's voice changes like every other word. It'll be like a normal line and then somebody else comes in and voices the yippee-ki-yay. And it's absurd. And I've spent far too much time explaining this to you. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. All right. From the Star Ledger, which is in New Jersey, the big newspaper. No, it's not the New York Times of New Jersey. It's the Star Ledger of New Jersey. It's pretty big. And Jim Brewer lives in New Jersey. And the Star Ledger editorial board wrote an editorial about Jim Brewer. The headline, Jim Brewer skips town short of a shingle. Editorial by the Star Ledger editorial board. It's not even like by a dude. It's by the editorial board. By the way, I was playing on my phone the other night and I saw Brewer was trending. And I was like, now what did he do? He went on Tucker Carlson. This Jim Brewer thing is pretty big comedy news. The Star Ledger editorial board wants you to know the following. Comedian Jim Brewer announced last week he was canceling a gig in Montclair and other venues that require proof of vaccination for audience members. And for this, we should be thankful because this is not someone you choose to have within particle range when he's dropping his viral load. Bring it, Star Ledger. The popular stand-up comic used Facebook to make his announcement. Looking as though he had just escaped from a week of electrical torture. And his 18-minute post was a breathtaking display of someone trying to disguise ignorance and paranoia as intellectual heft. This is the newspaper. Among many other things, Brewer declared that doctors are out of their minds and that we're all being led by unspecified tyrants, these soulful, evil, fear-driven animals. My Brewer impression is coming back the more I do it this week. I'm telling you, 10 years ago, when I worked with Jim every day, I did a really good Jim. And much of his stuporous soliloquy, writes the newspaper, sounded like it was the preamble to a warning about satanic pedophilic pizza parlors. Jim Brewer sneered, wake up, wake up. This has nothing to do with safety. Zero. This wasn't a bit and it wasn't funny. Unencumbered by Clue, the SNL alum, is the latest big-time celeb incapable of accepting science or math. And that should scare anybody who knows the reach he has on social media. Skipping ahead, the Star Ledger editorial board writes, here's the worst part. Speaking in March with Joe Rogan, the podcast host whose own use of horse dewormer made news recently, Brewer spoke at length of his own COVID infection, which would ordinarily trigger schadenfreude. I'm having so much fun with this article. They like using big words. But for the fact that he passed the virus to his teenage daughter and his wife, who has stage 4 cancer, his summary of the experience was the kind of loony logorrhea that makes Alex Jones seem grounded. He railed about a doctor asking that he take a PCR test before he can see him. Instead, he took the less reliable rapid test and then blamed the doctor for not accepting it. For Brewer, writes the Star Ledger editorial board, a PCR test was not an option because now I have to go into the state, the system. Then he explained that he dropped a series of F-bombs on a state health worker who called to ask him about his daughter's condition. You don't call my house. Government, you just overstepped your boundaries. You're just here to protect me, not to come knocking at my door. It's a very frightening place to be. It's often true if you are an intolerably smug know-it-all who actually knows nothing, writes the Star Ledger editorial board. Some of us choose to forgive these psychotic moments from people like Eric Clapton, who spent a lifetime wrestling with pharmaceuticals, but Brewer's podcast riff, it's on YouTube, was far darker, and it concluded with a story about an obese chum named Rob, a crazy Trump guy, full-blown. Poor Rob got COVID and was brain dead from a series of strokes. The story goes only to be taken off a ventilator by an unnamed specialist who marched into his hospital room and demanded he be hydrated and that he receive visitors. It brought him back to life, Brewer concluded with pop-eyed wonder. Rogan said, wow. Then it really went off the rails when Brewer admitted that he was a member of QAnon. Did Jim do that? I listened to that interview. I missed that. The Star Ledger writes, Brewer admitted that he was a member of QAnon. Reeled in by the myth about JFK Jr. faking his own death and returning as Donald Trump's vice president. What? Now, I just paused my recording to make sure that, like, I didn't miss-source this. I'm looking at it. This is on NJ.com, www.nj.com/2021/09/Jim-Brewer-skips-town-short-of-a-shingle-editorial.html if you want to check for yourself. Editorial concludes, This is what's become of a Townsend guy from Chester Township, who is now a shower and shave better than a doomsaying hobo. He won't play Montclair in December because he believes COVID is the greatest voodoo trick in history. And that's his prerogative. We think New Jersey just dodged a viral buffet. Wow. Okay. Switching topics. The Star Tribune, which is a different newspaper, says the Limestone Comedy Festival proves you don't need big audiences for big laughs, just good comics. Dina Hassem, one of the sharper writers in the business, says the Star Tribune, defended her fascination with niche porn. Some of the fans at her show in the back room of a bar didn't quite know how to react to a different bit about making Mecca more attractive to visitors. And she joked, "I'm a Muslim woman. It's racist if you don't laugh." The Star Tribune says, out of vogue are jokes about Donald Trump, in vogue, pandemic jokes. Sabine Sadiq reflected on having to move back in with her parents. Emil Joachim compared going to a restaurant these days to sneaking into a gay bar in the 1930s. Natalie McGill wondered how store employees rationalized pushing napkins as a proper substitute for toilet paper. David Rodriguez gave himself a poor grade on homeschooling his kids. Bobcat Goldthwait, put on your seatbelts, man, appeared ready to mourn the loss of radio hosts who had railed against vaccines and subsequently died from the coronavirus. I'm just going to read this next paragraph. Quote, "It makes me feel really bad," unquote, he said, waiting a beat, "that I didn't get to see them die. If you don't think science is real, you don't get to go to the big science building." Jackie Cation, who opened the fest, said that she used part of the quarantine time learning how to make yogurt and joked, "I found out quickly that I don't eat a lot of yogurt." Festivals are back, baby. The High Plains Comedy Festival is this weekend. Josh Blue is your headliner. Also this weekend in San Antonio is the Ha Comedy Festival. The star-studded lineup includes Danny Trejo, Carlos Santos, Jessica Keenan, Steve Trevino, Lisa Alvarado, Paul Rodriguez, and Emilio Rivera. The founders say the mandate of our company is to empower and showcase the Latino comedic creative community. Hollywood is 2% Latino inclusion. We are proud to say we have a 92% Latino rate of inclusion. Show start tonight at 6, Comedy Comadres 2020. 7 o'clock, Fresh Faces 2021. Yeah, I don't know what the 2020 is either. 8 and 10 o'clock, the Latino Comedy Showcase. And at midnight, after midnight. Show started tomorrow at 4 and on Sunday at 3. That is the Ha Comedy Festival, if you are in San Antonio. All right, Jim Brewer impression. Tell the people what we got tomorrow. Great. I know a lot of times Johnny Mac hands in filler on the weekend, but I'm telling you, tomorrow he's got stories about Chappelle, Ricky Gervais, Richard Pryor. Sick. More Jon Stewart stuff. He's probably got leftovers from today. Norm Macdonald, of course. And he wants me to welcome the new people. Welcome, new people. Thank you for listening. You can follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Instagram at Daily Comedy News. buymeacoffee.com/Daily Comedy News. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Thank you once again. And like I said, I'm open with you guys. I pre-tape the weekends a lot of the times. I try and make every episode of Weekly Comedy Thing awesome, like anything you do. Some are more awesome than others, but this weekend in particular is not filler. I've just got so much to tell you about. Again, tomorrow, Chappelle, Gervais, Pryor, Jon Stewart, Norm Macdonald. So definitely check it out. Follow the show wherever you get it. Hope you enjoyed today. I thought today was a lot of fun from behind the microphone. See you tomorrow.